Tēnā koe. This program is brought to you by accessradio.org.nz. Access Radio. Make your voice heard.
Guy Kappa, you're not down at the Sevens today.
No, I'm not.
The reason for that being?
Well, I want there to be enough room for everyone else there. You know, what if I go and a fan misses out? That would just be awful. So now I've made real sure that I've dressed up and sat in a park to celebrate. I reckon you need about 25 a team to make it real messy and fun. Although, yeah, okay, the whole idea is it's faster. Okay, next question.
Tell me about, what's your show called? Questions with the Universe?
Close, Interviews with the Universe. So I'd actually interview them.
And where did the idea come from?
The idea came from, I guess in some ways I try to make shows that it sort of interests me myself, so I'm interested in the show. And I guess I sort of imagined if you could talk to the Earth or the Moon, if it had one voice, you know, how it would talk, or if it would, you know, if they'd talk about each other behind each other's backs and et cetera, and if they're actually bored, you know, and some stars are really excited and just going off, and other ones are just like burning out and dying and bored. And so yeah, that's the idea, I guess, and yeah.
And it's not just you doing stand-up, it's you're using animation and film and...
Yeah. So I'm singing with animated characters and interviewing aliens, some aliens who meditate, and showing their thoughts that they think of when they're meditating, like lamingtons and alien stuff.
So this is quite scripted compared to, say, a normal stand-up thing for you, which is, you know, goes into wild improvisation at times.
Yeah. It's scripted mainly because the animated characters are. So I found that a good way to have the animated characters as sort of the guideline that I can play with. So I can improvise within answers, but on the whole, I'm sort of addressing the actual alien characters.
And how many characters are there altogether?
It's probably about 12. Because there's musicians, so there's like trumpet players and stuff. Yeah, so there's some of them are interviewed and some of them are actually just musicians.
And this is all in an hour?
This is all in an hour. Yeah, definitely in an hour. Yep.
Man, and so how much time has gone into, say, creating each character?
Well, there's different ways of doing it because they're shot against blue screen, so... So if I do a set or a library of mouths, I can reuse mouths. But to answer the question, I don't know. Lots of hours. I don't always time it. In fact, I actually found some new software recently which actually records how much time you've worked on the project, so you can actually see. It records it. So every time you're logged on there, it'll record you've been on there, which is pretty cool.
And what sort of computer programs do you have to use for those?
I think that's just that one's a PC. That's called Magpie Pro. Yeah, that's for lip sync. Yeah, lip sync's quite an interesting place. Studying things called phonemes and basically the clicks of, because you don't actually, if you follow the mouths, you it's more subtle, so you won't always see all the consonants when you're animating the characters talking. And actually, sometimes I like to have the character go, Guy, watch this, I'm going to do a V sound, I've been practicing. What do you think of my V? Look, it's animated well, isn't it? So actually sort of the in-joke with the characters. But yeah, there'll be times where the idea is basically that you, the characters are real.
When did you start working on this?
Months ago. Probably before the Fringe, but a lot of it actually in my head, to be honest. I usually think about it a lot, and I think about it heaps, and I think about it in my head, and the opening scenes, and so I've been getting a lot of stills of space and planets, and then pretty much just putting mouths on them, and making them talk. It's sort of like, one of the things I've been thinking about lately is how, let's say you were ripping through space, or if you're falling through the sky. No, that's, you know, well, okay, now ripping through space, and you're by yourself, and there's asteroids, and of course there's no sound, but let's just imagine there's sound of wind, and maybe your hair is going everywhere. But basically, that's pretty freaky. That's pretty terrifying. You know, space I don't think is all so-called friendly. You know, it'll burn you and kiss you at the same time. So my point is that this is just a ridiculous, lighthearted take, you know, in a world where we've got chaos and flames and volcanoes and stuff. Yeah.
But existential at the same time, which seems to be like quite a key component to your comedy.
Yeah, existential's good. Much better at keeping one foot on the ground as well. So that'll be in the show. I think we'll always start losing it and then put a foot on the ground. I mean, yeah, fantasy is fun, reality's fun, and mixed together is fun. I think making a show that can sort of develop, because one of the things is that I am sincere or serious about universe or existentialism, etc. So it's a fun way to think about the big questions, which sometimes we realize as little questions or simple things. So it is sort of the comedy of, I guess, an abstraction of simplicity. So, you know, what's it all about is ridiculous. You know, there's so many flippant answers to that. You'll be put down and sat by a tree and explained the answer to life. It's vegetarianism and breathing. It probably is. But then you want an ice block. A vegan ice block. I want meat in my ice block.
So no closer to answering the big questions or little questions in life, but just have had fun on the way.
Yeah, it's all about fun. Definitely about fun. Yeah, and well, I mean, because I think it would be... answering the questions would be pretty... I mean, that's not what... I don't think... Well, I guess in the blurb it says this is the, you know, this is the deep questions. You know, because I interview the internet. So the internet talks about its favourite blog, you know. Just thinking might be like a little guinea pig. And he goes, look at him, guy. He's incredible. He does his own blog. Types away on the keyboard with his little paws. Must be so hard for him. I have thousands of blogs, guy. Millions. But this one caught my eye. So, like, and I think people like to think about what things to think. Like, I think people imagine what trees would say. You know, oh, here we go, it's quite nice day. Yeah, it's quite nice. So I think it's always interesting. And in a really sort of a weird way, of course, humans, I guess, are always projecting their ego onto things or putting voices to things. And in fact, that's almost the comedy of a tree going, oh, I bet he's probably thinking, what do we sound like? Do we have a voice? You know?
Well, that's the thing kids do and do really well, isn't it? When they play with toys and things.
Yeah, yeah.
They always have voices.
I'm going to eat you. I'm going to kill you. Chop my head off. Let's go to the cave. Don't. That's my toy. Let's go to the cave. Yeah, and I mean, they do multitasking with like six figures in one hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's go, everyone. No, wait for me. And then 500. Yeah, totally. Kids do that.
But once you start working in an office and wearing a tie, you have to stop that for some reason.
I've never done it. I have, but not with not a tie. See, I'm treating that question quite seriously. I have been in an office, not so much with a tie, but I have been in one. I've visited offices. Well, I think most people can change an office pretty quickly with a little poster or a plant. Now it's an aviary's for birds. It's a mini botanical garden.
This sounds like a show that should have a life beyond the fringe. Are you going to do like a DVD and then, you know, the outtakes with characters and... Because, I mean, there must be a lot of stuff which you have enjoyed doing yourself which isn't going to end up in the show.
Right, true. No, that's a good point. Yeah. Yep. Yes. Well, no, okay.
No pressure, though.
DVD of interviews with the universe. Yeah, totally. I think, well, no, totally. How's that?
Totally. That's fine.
I'd love to. I didn't even think of it until now.
But following the fringe, you're heading away.
Yeah, I'm off to New York for 3 months, and so I'm going to do some research there. I'm hoping to visit a kids' animation festival, and yeah, taking the sights and sound. I've got one venue booked to a gig. It's with a guy called Eugene Merman. and he does sort of abstract sort of comedy there. Yeah, so that should be interesting. And it's I think it's actually a free paying gig, but you just get to do stuff. It's quite common in the States that the gig's quite cheap.
Mm. And you've used Happy as a space previously for your comedy, haven't you?
Yeah, Happy is great. I think they're really good because the angle of the stage and stuff's really awesome. And no, it's a great venue for comedy for sure. I like Bats as well. They're just different. Bats has that angled stage down, which is great fun. And Happy's good because I guess you know, never you're on the level of the audience. It's quite interesting. So yeah, spaces. But you always make them work, I think, with venues. Like, Happy's a little bit similar to Indigo in its layout in a sense, you're on stage. But it hasn't got bull bars. Indigo's got bull bars, so hecklers can be bayed down.
And what sort of technical setup have you got on the night? Have you got heaps of gear?
Well, to be honest, I'll probably just talk you through it. Now there would have been an alien there, and I believe a planet just there on the screen. Ah, my head's a video projector. No, it's a video projector projecting the animations on the screen. Well, a microphone, a video projector, and hopefully they've still got their piano. If they're wise, it's not there. Otherwise, I'll jump onto it, start improvising. No, improvising's got out of control. I'm back to studying. No, I'm not. I am. No, I'm not.
There'll be no appearance of the Elam Art student at all?
Well, it's Elam now. No, don't be sorry, I was joking. When you said Elam, I went, oh, don't put the focus on Elam. Art students, yeah, well, I think I've got an alien that shows its short films.
Right.
I'm quite into alien films, aliens making films. So they've got, like, people by the fridge. I think I'll have a glass of milk now. And so I find that quite amusing.
So it's the interstellar version of the local art student.
Yeah, like, I don't like lasers, guy. They scare me, and they're loud. Not in space, of course. That's all a lie. They made you in a big space fight of no sound. Not the same. Just lights going across the thing.
Are you a big science fiction fan?
I'm a big science fiction fan. And I'm half researched. I've watched lots of science fiction. And I'm just always mixed between loving how intense they are and also how ridiculous they are. So that's what I find about science fiction. I love the comedy. I mean, just like when your kids playing around, you can create intensity pretty quickly. You know, we've got to get on the ship. We've got to go. We've got to go. You know? And that's so much fun. I'm just going, yeah, fuck, we've got to go. We've got to go. Oh, my God. So I think that sort of stuff's quite fun. But then it's ridiculous as well. I mean, half the science fictions I've seen, I don't know, you didn't have to fight. Well, not always. You easily could have got one in the back room and just watch out of it videos and eat in food and stuff.
Best science fiction film, worst science fiction film?
Okay.
Sometimes the worst are the best, though,
aren't they? Yeah, Best science fiction film. I reckon Alien, first one. Worst science fiction film, Hot Dogs Are from Space. That doesn't exist. Yeah. Rhinos can fly ships. Two.
Oh, two, yeah.
God, what was the second one? Worst film. We're getting there, hold on. I reckon Battlestar Galactica the feature was funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But seriously, it was pretty bad. But it was funny, though. Because Cylons go into a nightclub, remember that?
That's right.
Hey, great outfit.
Yeah.
Worst science fiction film. Oh man, I want to make it, man. I don't know. Science fiction film. Well, because usually science fiction films, if they're bad, they're funny because they're usually from the 80s. I don't know how many ones around this time we made. But the show's really about how. Well, it's an option to be serious or not serious. So, if you were to be beamed up by a spaceship, you know, would you... You know, could you take this guy seriously? If you got someone in front of you of, like, its head is just like orifices and eyeballs and like stuff. If you cracked up, you'd be in a lot of trouble, so you'd have to treat it quite seriously. And that's like life a lot. If you meet someone who's makes you feel like you've got to take them fucking real seriously, yeah, so it means to be silly. I think it's hard sometimes, people that want to laugh but then don't want to make other people feel uncomfortable, which I understand, but you still should see silly things in life, I think.
Yeah.
Fun things in life. Plus you got an option. It's either going to get real serious and freaky, or it's going to get lighthearted and silly with a little bit of serious and freaky. Sprinkle of reality,
yeah,
a tad of freakiness, and then a big cooked pie.
In developing the characters, have you found that they've been sort of based on humans, or, you know, characters that you've done in your stand-up and other things previously, or have they come completely fresh?
Yeah, they're basically they're fresh. In fact, I remember having a character wanting to say, and he goes, "Guy, it's fresh." But the idea is that imagining how you think that actually talks. So we're trying to get away from procrastination of because in some ways the comedy is also you've got a comedian projecting his or her ideas onto an alien talking. So then I'm trying to get the characters sort of to discuss that. Like, "Guy, I know what you're trying to do. I'm not going to be funny for you. I'm just sick of it. I'm quite a serious alien. I know many federations and Starfleets out here. I'm very respected. Yes, I've got 8 testicles, but I'm quite a serious person, alien. And the last thing I need is for you to put me on the internet live, aired to some comedy bar in Wellington, New Zealand, and tease me. So I think that's the interview. I think we'll wrap it up there." So that sort of thing would be quite funny. But the other thing is how they talk, you know, why do they talk in English?
Yeah.
So some of them are going to have subtitles in Japanese, one of them's Japanese. But, yeah.
And New Zealand accent too, which is interesting.
Yeah, true. Well, all the voices I've been doing now are only the dialogue with attempts at voices. I've got different people to do the voices for it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that helps. I used to do shows with that all my voice, which is quite funny, because people in the audience, I think, could tell that they were talking to me pretty much.
So how many people have you roped in for voices?
I think it's about 6, and about 4 will turn up, probably. But it's a sort of show that I'd like to go to.
Yeah.
That's a good pitch.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, interviews with the universe can also be, I don't care, of having a lump of pastrami on the end of a stick, you know, going, what, "Oh, right, I get it, not cool enough, no eyes, you know, no fixed abode, back off,
yeah.
I'm a lump of pastrami on a stick, and I am me." You've seen Colin McCann.
Yeah.
I am pastrami.
If it's a show that you'd like to go to, would you like to go to it straight or with your consciousness expanded slightly?
I mean, whatever works for you. I think, either or. If you're someone that goes rootled, you might get really paranoid and scared and ruin my show, which would be funny though, of course. Always deal with hecklers passively and benderly. I don't take my clothes off! Why is everyone looking at me? Because your clothes are off. No, I mean, because what should be my answer is, come off your scone, come in jandals and in your underwear with purple all over your face. No, come however you come, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh!
Well, good luck with the show. I can't wait to see it, to be honest.
You're going to have to.
Oh, I'm going to. And good luck with your trip, too.
Hey, thank you so much. And thanks for interviewing and talking about the show. It's helped me clarify some things.
This program was brought to you by accessradio.org.nz. Access Radio. Make your voice heard. Ka kite anō.